This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Well, I'm Mark Packer. My partner is Wes Durham, and we are here to entertain you, at least attempt to, for the next 3 hours. Wes, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am not good. I pulled the infamous senior moment last night. I had a dinner date with my wife and our daughter, Emmy, who's in from Clemson. And we had a dinner reservation at 6. I couldn't make it because I'm still in the air last night because it's just a 2-hour show. So I said, I'll meet you there. I got there late, no parking, had to go in this dark parking lot, get out of the truck, take 2 steps, and I go down. And I mean, I went not face first, but I went shoulder, elbow, hip, knee, foot, as if I had been shot from the upper deck. I mean, it was not pretty. And landed right on concrete and pavement, uneven. And I don't think I have anything broken, but I don't feel hot. I got to be honest with you. I've been up since yesterday and popping Motrin like M&M's. So I will play hurt, though, Westerham. I will put some dirt on it, and we will go hard for 3 hours. That I promise you. So not a good night for the Pac-Man last night. So there we go.
Didn't get your chin, did you, Pac-Man?
No, but you know how it goes, Wes. You know, that wasn't 165 pounds hitting the pavement in pitch dark. That was a heavy hit last night. So, you know, but I will tell you though, as a trooper, right. I still walked into that restaurant and I still swallowed whole. I was hurting, but you got to play hurt in this game, man. Anybody can do a radio or TV show feeling 100%. How about when you got who knows how many broken bones or whatever is going on? We're going to play hurt, and we're going to enjoy it. So that will not deter us from entertaining.
No. And we got a big show. Starts at the bottom of the hour. Mark Ennis is going to join us from Louisville.
Debut.
Host of 93.9 The Ville. Looking forward to having him make his debut. Tar Heel football legend Brian Simmons will be here as well.
Debut.
In the 8 o'clock hour with Florida State basketball star MJ Walker. And then hold tight now, the 9 o'clock hour, Brendan Marks from The Athletics will join us. Covers all the teams there in the Triangle. Looking forward to having him back with us to talk about Duke erasing their non-conference schedule in basketball. And Roddy Jones will be here for the Friday 9:30 slot. I would almost say it's become a staple of this program. Roddy Jones Fridays at 9:30.
Well, he's kind of replaced the coveted invite because that's really the coveted invite spot, 9:30. But she's traveling today, so he can't do coveted invite. So yeah. Roddy always does a solid job. So we look forward to all those great guests. A bunch of debuts, as pointed out, with Ennis and Simmons. And we look forward to having those guys on board. All right, so last night. We had a little football going. Again, we got football and hoops heavy today. All right. So if you think, what are you going to start with? We're going to start with what took place last night in the ATL. Wes, we both thought this game could be close. We both thought Pitt would win. Mm-hmm. The game had a little bit of everything. It had Pitt finding a running game in week 15 of the season because, goodness gracious, Vincent Davis went off last night. Speaking of going off, the electricity went off last night. We had chippiness and personal fouls and stuff flying all over the place, flags in the air. And we had an ice-cold handshake at the end. I mean, this game had just about everything you need for a college football game.
First snap to walk-off handshake, right?
Yep.
That's about the way you'd describe. And it was weird because, to be honest with you, the personal fouls and all the math involved in that, and we had more stoppages of play. We had a lot of conversation last night among the officiating crew. We had, you know, they were trying to keep both sides at peace, things like that. You know what it looked like? A team finishing their season and a team that wants to finish strong in their season.
Yep.
Both wanted to finish strong. Pittsburgh's last regular season game was last night. It was imperative to Pat Narduzzi to kind of get his team ready to roll. And Jeff Collins, because of the win over Duke and the tough loss at NC State, well, he knows he's got two more licks at it. So he wants to play hard in his final home game before going to Miami next week. But this guy right here stole the show. No doubt about it. Vincent Davis, 25 carries, 247 yards. His previous single game high was 69 in the Quick Lane Bowl against Eastern Michigan. Well, he hit that on the first carry last night.
Yeah.
He went 74 on the first carry of the ball game. So when you start thinking about kind of the way the ball game was going to go, don't be surprised it became a ground and pound now for Pittsburgh because they were capable. But the Panthers' offense had become a lot more balanced and, in fact, pass happy at times. We talked about the great game DJ Turner had a couple of weeks ago. But what happened last night was Narduzzi getting back to black and blue football with Mark Whipple at the wheel.
We talked all season long. Can Pitt establish the run? And the answer every week, no, 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 no. Last night, not only does Vincent Davis go 247, but the team had 317 yards rushing last night. And I know Pat's sitting there going, hey, it's amazing we finished 11 games. That's the first thing. So congratulations from that standpoint. But if Pitt could have given me a dose of 300 yards rushing this week, every week, dude, you'd be talking about these guys as a top 10 football team. That has been the missing piece of the equation, I'm telling you, every week during the year. But they established the run, and Vincent Davis, goodness gracious, he just went off, like I said, at 247. It was crazy. And Georgia Tech just couldn't stop him.
Yeah.
Couldn't stop him.
It was interesting, too, because Georgia Tech kept battling back, and without Jahmyr Gibbs, they found a way to – I mean, they're throwing the ball a lot better. Yeah, there were turnovers, of course, but they're throwing the ball a lot better. But two really gutty performances last night. Vincent Davis, certainly give him a lot of credit. And I don't want this segment to end before we talk about David Curry, the linebacker at Georgia Tech last night, who suffered probably a broken bone of some sort in his hand or wrist, went to the locker room, taped it up, and went back out there.
Yep.
Because last night could have been it at Grant Field.
Yep.
Now, he may have an opportunity to come back and play something like a seventh year, but David Curry, I mean, for him to go in there, patch it up and go back and make plays, Pack, not run around like a decoration.
Hey.
I mean, he went back out and was involved.
He had 14 tackles last night. And like you said, I just kidded around, but put some dirt on it. Let's go play. He is old school, man. Hey, let's go. We got a chance to go play some more football. I don't care. My arm's hanging off. I don't care. Tape it up. Let's go. 14 tackles last night. He had 24 tackles the last two games league in the last night. And we've had a chance to meet him, talk to him. He's great. I mean, he's just exactly what you want in your student athlete and a tremendous player. So you're 100% right, Wes. In fact, it's on my notes. If you're going to bring it up, I was going to. But Curry was out of sight. And he is just old school, rock 'em, sock 'em, put some dirt on it, knock him to the ground. And, again, Georgia Tech still got one more shot at it, like you say, with Miami next week. But that game last night, though, you know, for a Thursday night, if you've kind of like, man, I got basketball withdrawals, and if you weren't going to watch men's basketball, we had women's basketball going on in the ACC. But that thing last night, now, it was chippy. We had personal fouls all over the place. Georgia Tech had three personal foul penalties. They had two roughing the passers. Pitt had a roughing the passer penalty, one personal foul, two unsportsmanlike conducts. This game had a little edge to it. Yeah, we got a couple of these too. Let's dance with you. Who he brought, right? You know, this is one of those, what in the world's going on? This game kind of felt like the winner's going to the college football playoff, right? This game had it was like, forget the records. This looked like two teams that were playing for, hey, we win this game, we're going to dance. And so I applaud both of them in the sense that there was some energy in the building last night for a Thursday night in the middle of December.
Yeah. There you go. All right. But the end.
Oh.
Not the end of the game. The end was a handshake after the ball game. And graciously enough, at the end of the ball game, we had this. Whoa, a little drive-by, a little frosty. And it's your locker room's that way, I guess. All right. Now, fortunately for us and for you, the discerning ACC football fan, here's Pat Narduzzi and Jeff Collins after the game.
you know, I just said, hey, you got a great team. And he said, that's, you know, baloney, I guess, and nice words and walked off. I, you know, I don't know. I thought it was a good game.
To be honest with you, I was focused on getting our guys to the to our band to celebrate. There were some things throughout the game that got chippy, and I was just making sure that I wanted to get to my guys. So if I came across any type of way, really had no intention of that. I'm just so focused on our team, so focused on making sure that we go and celebrate with our band that does so much for us and for our program. And so that's one of the traditions that we have, getting to the band and celebrate, or not celebrating, but showing respect to our band. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we did that. So I don't even remember, to be honest with you. I apologize.
Going to see the band. And then Pat Narduzzi, on his way out of town, jumps on Twitter, says, cold showers in Georgia again, with a little handshake emoji. Hey, like I said, what more do you want in the middle of December? You want everybody to do a band. Little you want everybody to do a little kumbaya here? Or look, hey, we're all buds here. You know,
band.
Everybody gets a trophy? No, we're playing for keeps. Jeff's talking about the band. You know, I don't know. Listen, they'll work this thing out, but it gave us something to talk about. I can tell you that much. We didn't even show the lights going out during the game.
By the way, can I just say that Stacy Forrest and Sammy Brown of the Georgia Highway Patrol were outstanding last night, helping Coach Narduzzi make sure he was okay.
Well, the funny thing, if we go back and show that video at some point in time, I think Pat says something to the cops, like, hey, you tell that guy. I mean, you know, and again, we love both these guys. I mean, they've been great with us. Just watch the.
Oh, here we go. Look. Yeah. Oh, wait, what?
Fist bump. And then Pat's going to say one more thing. You go tell your coach. And the patrolman's like, hey, what do you want me to do about it? Oh,
former
classic.
Georgia Tech football letterman Sammy Brown there. Love Sammy. Sammy and Stacy are my guys, Pac. You just don't know. You just don't know how much those are my guys.
That's funny.
All right, well, classic. Okay, if you thought that was good, ladies and gentlemen, Vincent Davis went wild last night. And then on the RSN broadcast, Abby LaBar asked Vincent, what was going to happen here post-game?
Well, you left it all out on the line here today. What do you credit that to? How are you guys going to celebrate tonight?
Oh, we finna get lit. We can't get too lit, though, because, you know, we got a quarantine, all that. We finna, you feel me? But we finna get lit tonight. Yeah. All on the plane, we get lit.
That's how I felt last night, almost going face first. I felt lit last night. You know what? Let me tell you something. These guys have been through you know what and back. And for a team like Pitt, hey, you get the win. You're on the road. The journey has been unbelievable. They finished 6-5. They know, hey, man, we put everything out there. And so, yeah, good for him. I mean, you can just almost sense the relief of, oh, man, we are going to go. We're now going to finally celebrate making it to the finish line. And so good for them. And again, we've now had, what, four ACC teams play 11 games this year. BC, which we'll talk about, NC State, Syracuse, and now Pitt. I mean, congrats. I mean, that's an incredible achievement. I don't care about wins and losses. This year, you're just trying to start and you're trying to finish. And college football is going to try to finish here in the next couple of weeks. But that game, like I said last night, if you were not entertained, I really can't help you with that one. That had nothing to do with an ACC championship or anything else. Those were two teams that were showing up to say, hey, listen, I mean, it could be the last go-around. Let it rip. And it had a little bit of everything.
And the last piece of this ball game, for the second straight time, Georgia Tech has a home game at Grant Field, and the lights go out. Yep. That's exactly right. There we go. Now, a couple of weeks ago when they hosted Duke on a Saturday night, they had this happen, and the delay lasted 15 minutes. For those of you that have never been to the oldest FBS playing surface in all of college football in Midtown Atlanta, Georgia Tech is fairly well known. If you're from the Atlanta area, the football stadium – and the campus itself sit right over the top of the largest sewer main connecting the city It also sits over the largest power grid connecting the city. So when something can happen like, oh, I don't know, 1.5 miles, 2 miles away, somebody hits a transformer, power goes out somewhere, oftentimes, more often than not, that power backs up into the Georgia Tech campus, or the sewer backs up into the Georgia Tech campus, or whatever you may, you know, draw your attention to. So last night, unlike 2 weeks ago when it took 15 minutes, last night was a power outage based on a traffic accident, shocking, I know, in Atlanta, a couple of miles away from the stadium.
Like I said, we're here to entertain you. That's just one game. We talked about all these games this week. They're all kind of connected to the hip. That's the first one. I think we're going to have a couple more like it this weekend.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right, let's go to Coach K and Duke Hoops, because this has been there's been a kind of a steamy topic this week off the games themselves, right? Coach K's comments after the loss to Illinois the other night has got people really kind of forming and choosing sides.
Well, and yesterday afternoon on Basketball and Beyond with Coach K on Sirius XM, the Hall of Fame head basketball coach of the Blue Devils basically announced they're not going to play any more non-conference games.
We've had games postponed or canceled, and we took the initiative to say we're not going to play any more non-conference games. And the other thing we said is, yeah, we're going to let our kids go home for Christmas. Now, that might not be Christmas Day, but they're going to be home for 4 or 5 days. They need a break, mental health-wise. So that's what we're doing. Whatever anyone else does, we'll, you know, that'll be good. But I would like to see there have more dialogue about it and not just say we're going to plow through.
Wes, I think there's two storylines that are going on here. And folks need to understand how to differentiate this. And I mentioned this yesterday. Coach K has been incredibly consistent about the lack of leadership for college basketball. There's not a quote-unquote czar. There's not a point person. And this has been going on for years and years and years. This one's something that just came up. And this whole thing's kind of gotten thrown under the umbrella of COVID and the NCAA, and I think you got to kind of read between the lines here. I think there's two separate issues at play. Number one, the leadership's aspect from an NCAA standpoint for college basketball exclusively, right? That's one issue. Issue two is COVID and the pandemic, and what's basketball going to do? I'll say this again. I don't think the NCAA has a clue on how to handle a blanket pandemic conversation. They've proven that already during football. Each individual school has a better handle on what is right for their program. Nobody in the world knows more about Duke basketball than Mike Krzyzewski. Same thing goes for Tony Bennett at Virginia. I mean, fill in the blank. Leonard Hamlin at Florida State. You have to have a pulse on your team. If you think your guys are taxed mentally, physically, whatever, and you need to pause, man, go for it. We've seen it in football. How many games we have postponed yesterday in college football because we had an outbreak at West Virginia or Texas or whatever? It happens. It's okay. And if you aren't comfortable moving forward, I highly suggest that you don't. You figure it out. And so, you know, there have been people been taking shots left and right or agree 100%. Hey, you form your own opinion. Folks are smart enough to do that. But I think you got to understand where he's coming from. There are two separate issues here. How are you going to handle this college hoop season from a day-to-day standpoint and the leadership aspect of the big picture of college basketball, that the sport really needs a director? It really needs a point man, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
I think you're right. The part about college basketball and its administration is really headed by Dan Gavitt, whose name we've mentioned time and again, seemingly since August, as it relates to basketball. This also goes back for me. The first thing I thought of was with the canceling of the non-conference games is those games are going to be the most difficult to replicate. In other words, when you lose one or lose two, and Duke has lost already, I think, two or three, you're going to have a hard time replicating those games, finding a slot to schedule them. Now, they were making attempts to try and do that, but the thing about it is it's becoming cumbersome, right? Because you're having to wait for quarantines and contact tracing and things like that. My concern when we started this process, and it still continues to be my concern, is the 20-game ACC schedule is going to be hard enough
yep.
at this particular juncture. We're also, and again, I'm not faulting anybody in the administration of the Atlantic Coast Conference. They tried to maintain the mapping of the schedule, I guess I can use that word, as best they could from what we would get in a normal year. However, more than likely, when we get into this, that schedule is going to be reset, adjusted, games moved, sites moved. And if we get too far down the road and are having a hard time getting this executed, I'm not putting it beyond the ACC finding a way to put four, five, six teams in certain locations and try and figure out the rest of the schedule to get to the number. Remember the number that the NCAA, one of the few things the NCAA has said is we got to get to 13 games. Well, when you look at it, Duke's played four. They're 2-2. So Duke technically has nine games left of 20 ACC games they have to play or are scheduled to play. I think we're going to get there to the 13. I can't imagine, given the current climate, and I hope against hope that we get to the 20 games for every school in the ACC. But right now, I can't imagine us getting to those 20 games, Pac. There's just too much uncertainty. I mean, we got how many programs we have on pause right now? Four?
Yep.
We had a fifth of the league going into midweek, and then we added Virginia. So you got Virginia, NC State, Wake Forest, Louisville. Is that right? That's the way I understand it. Steve Forbes said on his show the other night, they are not going to play a game, I think, until week after next. You know, the 21st, I think, would be the earliest date, and that one might have been postponed by now. That's the other thing about this. You know, I keep, you know this because you saw it last year. I keep a sheet of, like, non-conference schedules and home games and all sorts of things just to kind of track the year. I got no chance. You got no chance. Games are being waived and cut right now at a fever pitch. There's somewhere in the neighborhood, I heard Jay Billis say the other night on the Sports Center, we got 600 and some games that have already been scratched. 600 and some. And we're 2 weeks into this. You know, it's crazy to think about how we're going to have to start navigating. And quite frankly, Coach K makes his decision, okay? Now, here's the thing. He sees this from a different perspective maybe than others, right? Certainly Duke is taking all the precautions. But remember, and I think you talked about this yesterday a little bit, Pac, Duke University was one of the first institutions to not only cease all athletic activities last March, they were one of the first institutions to clear the campus, were they not?
Mm-hmm. And bypass the ACC tournament.
So,
right. Said, hey, we're not coming.
So let's look at, yeah, and that institution itself with Vince Price, their president, let's be honest, that group has been erring on the side of caution, abundance of caution, whatever phrase you want to use, since last March. Nobody should be surprised that Duke elected to do this. And if that's what their leadership feels like is the best plan, good for them. Now, the mental health aspect of it, there is no doubt. Pat Narduzzi said in some of his postgame comments last night, this football team has been basically focused on trying to get through this football season since the second week in June. Okay? At some point, the American sports fan, the American sports observer, analyst, whatever, has to understand that 18 to 22-year-olds have basically lived a life they are not familiar with since June. We've asked basketball players about it. We're going to talk to MJ Walker coming up in the show today. Since July, some since August, for basketball, they're just getting started. And they've seen the taxing it's taken on their football colleagues and their other fall sports peers. And I think it is a real, real aspect of what we're asking young people to do in competing in athletics.
And one final point for me. I wasn't concerned. I'm always concerned, given where we are with the pandemic. I think it's more important to get to the finish line for hoops than worrying about the starting point. And the starting point was going to be staggered. You knew that even before they said, hey, November 25th, let's tip this thing off and let it rip. Great. Rick Pitino was talking about, let's push this thing back. I mean, everybody's got an opinion. But I know this. College basketball must have a finish line. You cannot afford to have another year where no March Madness, whether that be March Madness, April Madness, May Madness, whatever it is. The end game here is really critical. And if you've got to pause for a week, a month, whatever, you do what you have to do. Mm-hmm. There are basically no rules here. You got to have a handle on your program and your kids and determine whether you're good to go. I don't think there's any doubt everybody wants to play. That's a given. Same thing in football, same thing in women's field hockey or anything else. Everybody wants to play, but can you? And a head coach better have a pretty good handle on the reading of his or her team. And that's kind of where we are. So yep. If Duke needs to pause and say, hey, sorry to Gardner, Webb, Elon, and Charleston Southern, hey, that's what you do. And hopefully you get ready to go and your guys are rebooted and re-energized and healthy and mentally in a good spot to play. So that's where we are.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Couple gentlemen making their debut on the show. We look forward to that. Well, that includes our next guest, Mark Ennis from 93.9 The Ville. You mentioned you've been on the show many, many times. Total role reversal as we move forward here.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. Mark Ennis can provide us great intel on Luke Hancock to use against him during basketball. So I think there's a win-win for us here, Pack, across the board, don't you?
We'll find out. Mark, good morning.
Well, look, Luke needs constant humbling. So if you guys need material, I am here for you.
Speaking of material, what's new in Louisville?
Oh, boy.
You've never seen a fan base with flashbacks like this. I tell anybody who will listen, since 1969, one coach has stayed longer than 5 years for Louisville football. And we had another example of this. This year with Scott Satterfield interviewing with South Carolina out of the blue. And it was a very, very strong here we go again reaction from fans around here.
Mm. Okay, Mark, did he do enough, though, in the last 96 hours to kind of rebuild the bridge a little bit here? Because I know it was bombed out last Saturday night. I mean, I could follow enough of the newspaper stories and the Twitter screens to say, okay, somebody blew up the bridge. Has he been able to build it fast enough in 96 hours? And the letter to season ticket holders last night, things like that, to put him in a spot to hopefully earn their trust again.
Yeah, I think the letter to season ticket holders was really, really good and exactly what he needed to do. It was a lot more apologetic, not defensive really at all. And really talked a lot more about what he liked about Louisville and why he wanted to be here, which is what I think a lot of people wanted to hear. You have 4 or 5 days straight about missing his family or, you know, sort of having a longing for the Carolinas and that sort of thing. I think fans just wanted to hear that he does actually want to be here. Look, this is going to be a long-term process. I don't think he can just undo it, you know, in a few days. Playing well to end the season against Wake Forest would be a good start. Signing this recruiting class would be a good start. But it's just going to take time and wins.
Mark, you read my mind. You know, letters are fine. Sound bites are great. Press conferences, all that. Hey, that's all fine and good. But you know, at the end of the day, you got to win games. And that's why I think this game tomorrow has a little bit more juice. I mean, these are two teams basically are not going to be part of the ACC championship game. But, you know, we haven't seen Wake play in, it seems like, 8 days. I mean, 8 weeks. And now you got Louisville with all this stuff going on. The best way to win people over is to look good doing it, right? Win some ball games. And this has been a strange year. I think we've all whiffed on what our expectations were for Louisville and how this season has unfolded. So the best way to win people over is to look the part, win some games, and people go, okay, we got this thing back on track. Now let's move forward.
Yeah, and I think there was some fear that maybe having interviewed and looking or sounding like he wasn't necessarily committal here, he might lose the locker room too. And Saturday will be a chance to show that maybe that's not the case. Mm-hmm. In addition, you've had Javian Hawkins and Tutu Atwell that are out now. And it's going to be very much a, this is what the future is going to look like in terms of who's on the field and who's playing. And if they look good, and if they finish, the, you know, this is sort of like winning a bowl game, maybe, if you finish this one with a win, then maybe you can build a little optimism and a little bit more sort of connection heading into next season now, because this is what the team is going to look like next year, whoever's playing on Saturday.
Well, Mark, the other thing, too, is Malik Cunningham has delivered. He's gotten better. He's a better quarterback in just about every way, shape, or form this year. He's taken the reins of the job. What's the next then item on that punch list if you're Louisville football here in the offseason? No matter what happens Saturday, where have they got to kind of focus first in your mind?
They got to stop turning the ball over, you know, and I think it's kind of a mystery. I've almost felt bad for Scott. Agonizing over how do we just stop fumbling the football. It's been everybody. It hasn't been just Cunningham. It hasn't been just the running backs. They've outgained their opponents in six out of their last nine games. I think eight out of the last 10 losses. But they turn the ball over like crazy. And so I think mentally just being a lot sharper and a lot more focused on not turning the ball over. If they had a neutral turnover margin, they've got a winning record this year.
What was your take on Tutu Atwell's opt-out?
He's hurt, you know, and I think there's been a lot of here's one chance at a message, and we'll quickly kind of follow it up and make sure that it's sharp, exactly this is what we mean. Scott did that, and Tutu did it too. Here's the statement, hey, look, I'm hurt, and I'm going to go ahead and get on with my attempts at a pro career, but I'm not opting out. I'm hurt. So he issued the statement and then immediately did kind of an interview after practice. I was like, no, I can't play. But I am going to go ahead and just let everybody know I'm declaring I'm going to hire an agent. I'm going to go ahead and get that process started. So his wasn't the same opt-out as Javian Hawkins. And I think that one kind of stung folks. And I think Tutu kind of went out of his way to make sure nobody thought he was doing that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did sign with Drew Rosenhaus Sports, by the way, last night, or at least a picture on social media emerged with Atwell and Rosenhaus Sports last night to indicate that his college career is over. Mark, I want to pivot here a little bit to basketball. Chris Mack's got one of the teams that has kind of been pausing on activities here. We got a small sample size. As Pac said, we hit the term small sample size probably a half dozen times yesterday because Louisville is one of those teams we've seen enough to know, yeah, you're still getting some new faces in there, but, man, Carly Jones can play. He can play at Bradford, and he can play at this level, it looks like.
Yeah, Louisville's backcourt, they're going to go as far as the backcourt takes them. And I think Carlick Jones, they didn't really temper our expectations for him. And now I think we've been able to see why. And you talk about a small sample size. This isn't even really the whole team. You know, they played so well against Western Kentucky. And Samuel Williamson didn't even play. Charles Mindlin hasn't played yet. And yet they still handled, you know, a really good Western team. I think it's going to be a tournament team. There's a ton of optimism for what this team will look like. And we really, again, have not even seen them at what we expect to be kind of full strength, not to mention Malik Williams, who probably won't play until the very end of the season, if at all.
Mark, so where would you say, because you've got a real handle on Louisville. So where would you put them in the pecking order based on two weeks of ACC where you've watched Duke and North Carolina and Syracuse get waxed by double digits the other night? You've seen some upstarts. NC State's kind of a mystery team. Clemson's off to a good start. Virginia Tech's given you Villanova. They've also given you Penn State. So where do you think Louisville is in the mix as we sit here in early December?
Well, I don't think I can even tell you about Louisville, again, because we haven't even seen, you know, pieces that we thought were going to be vital pieces. And, again, I don't know that we'll see Malik Williams at all. I'm going to start thinking about them really without him. But some of the young pieces that are playing down low have been really good for Louisville. So I think they can be a top four team in the ACC. But I haven't even seen them play on the road. Like, they've only played at the Yum Center. That's it. So I don't even know what they're going to look like on someone else's court necessarily. That's why I was glad to see that the pause is over and that they're back to practicing. And hopefully we'll get to see them play NC State or Pitt and Kentucky. And that'll be a good measuring stick. And I think people want to see that game. But I think they can be a top four team in the league. They're deeper, and that backcourt is just even better than expectations were.
All right. My line of the interview is, I think people want to see the Louisville-Kentucky game. You think people want to see the Louisville-Kentucky game this year? Come on.
I hope
line of the day.
I hope it's as good as Chris Mack's video, because we asked him if that was one take, and he broke it down for us. And if the game's as good as the video, we're in business, man. That's going to be out of sight.
Look, I'm not sure Kentucky wants to play that game at this point. I don't know.
No, that's an interesting well, angle, too.
I know they don't want to see Georgia Tech again. They don't want to see Georgia Tech, right?
How about Notre Dame this weekend?
Well, and in all honesty, Mark, the Cats have some questions, don't they? Yeah. I mean,
a lot of
and let's
do.
Be honest, they're playing a bunch of ACC schools here early, too.
Yeah. By the way,
this is one of the first times Kentucky's not going to have just like a dramatic advantage at point guard. Cal's done such a good job at point guard in the time he's been there. And they don't have that. Carly Jones and David Johnson, Louisville's got a better backcourt right now. And that I can't remember the last time I could really tell you that against Kentucky.
Mark, Jeff Falls Club, number two in the country, from a women's basketball perspective, you knew they were going to be good. They could be even better than advertised, couldn't they?
Well, they set a record for points against DePaul, and they only made 6 threes. It wasn't like they had like 20 or whatever, you know, like some teams do. We had Jeff Falls on the show last week, and we're like, hey, Jeff, how about that backcourt? You got Dana Evans, and you got Haley Van Lith. He's like, guys, you haven't even seen Kiana Smith yet. So, like, he just immediately folds in a couple more players in there, and for the first time, they've really got tremendous low post scoring too. I think they can win all kinds of games. They can get up and down. They can win some rough and tumble games. They can make threes. They can score down low. Jeff's got as good a chance as he's ever had at Louisville to cut the Nets down.
Mm.
Yeah. See, there we go. I knew Ennis would deliver for us, Packer. Excellent. I knew this would be as strong a debut as we've had in a long time.
Excellent insight. Everything we wanted to know.
You guys make sure you say that to Luke. Make sure you tell Luke that.
He doesn't listen to us, but I tell you what I do like about Hancock. Let me tell you what I like about Hancock. He's not verified on Twitter either, and I respect that.
Oh my god, here we go.
I respect that from Hancock.
Oh my god. Oh man. Hey Mark, take care. Thank you, bud. Always fun. Appreciate your time doing this. All right, Mark Ennis from 93.9 The Ville in Louisville. Outstanding guy, good talent, great show. If you're ever in that area, worth a listen.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hoops last night.
Women's
on the ladies' side.
Last night.
Yep. We got. By the way, Wes, Clemson 6-0, Virginia Tech 6-0, Syracuse 4-0, and the Deacs knocked off the Heels. Wake 4-1. Tar Heels are 5-1. League's gonna be good. Gonna be deep. Gonna be talented.
Yep. Syracuse, the only ranked team in action last night. Tiana had 14-7 last
She's
night,
a player,
to go along
man.
With three steals. A remarkable comeback continues in South Florida. Welcome back, 844-SAY-ACC, and we'll get to some of your calls here. We have women's conference openers continuing. Clemson at Pittsburgh. We mentioned Virginia at Florida State, NC State, Boston College, Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, Duke at Miami, North Carolina at Louisville. So three of those will be on our air here on ACC Network as well. All the games will be picked up across the ESPN platform that you'll be able to see on the app and at ACCNX as well. There's a look at the schedule for the weekend ahead. We also... Packer will get to men's games this weekend as well. Syracuse Boston College starts the conference slate this weekend.
Knock on wood. You know, I've gotten to the point now, Wes, literally every hour of the day, I'm checking to see if somebody's paused or somebody's closing this thing down for the short period. It doesn't matter if it's football, basketball, whatever. You just can't assume anything. I mean, every day there's always another story. And I mean, it's been like clockwork in the afternoon radio show. Mm-hmm. Literally, late afternoon. Yep. I don't know what it is, but we lose a game, it's seemingly, every hour. So, again, I hope we get the games. Again, we keep saying embrace what you get, and if we lose some, hey, so be it.
Right.
But these student-athletes have done such a remarkable job delivering the product. So we hope to get those games this week.
Florida State is also a non-conference headliner. We told you about Alabama, Clemson, and Atlanta. Florida State, MJ Walker going to join us at 8:30. We'll talk to him about playing the the Gators as well this weekend. That's always a big ball game. Much like we're talking about with Mark Ennis about Louisville and Kentucky. Yeah, those count. These games count too. So we're looking forward to catching up on some headline non-conference basketball on Monday's show. All right, back to the kind of comments 2 days ago from Mike Krzyzewski following the loss to Illinois about, you know, playing basketball during the pandemic and all the things. And then Pat, Nate Oates, the head coach at Alabama, who, by the way, has had coronavirus, said 100% we should be playing basketball. And he asked if Mike Krzyzewski's questions about playing are tied to Duke's non-conference losses to Michigan State and to Illinois. Now, I'm not sure that's a limb I want to walk on, but okay, Nate.
Well, all right, here's how I'm going to handle this one. First of all, he was asked the question, all right? And I think that's important to note. He was asked the question. He responded. Last time I checked, in this country, you have the right to form an opinion. Now, sometimes you're better left saying nothing, but hey, to his credit, he had something to say, and so he did. So he's got that right to say that. But I'll go back to the same premise here. You got to do what is in your best interest. And right. Hey, if somebody says, hey, what do you think Duke basketball should do? Well, if I have one person to call, phone a friend to ask the question, to get the answer, there's one guy you call. It's Mike Krzyzewski. And he knows it better than Nate Oates, Wes Durham, Mark Packer, Chester Fuller, anybody else. And so you do what you got to do. And so, you know, if you're Nate Oates, hey, if you're asked a question and if you want to go there and answer it, you have the right to give your opinion. Now, I'm sure there are going to be some people that raised some eyebrows and went, why would he go there? Well, again, he was asked the question. He could have said, hey, I have no comment on that. Coach K can handle it, or whatever he decided to do. That's his call. So, you know, in this day and age, people get criticized when they don't give an opinion. Sometimes you get criticized when you did give an opinion. It's almost you can't win. But I just want to bring up the fact that he didn't go to the podium and say, I'm going to start this press conference by saying blah, 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 blah. He didn't do that. So he was asked the question. He gave his opinion. Some folks thought, I wouldn't have crossed that line. Well, you know what? If Alabama and Duke happen to hook up in the NCAA tournament, that'd be fun. Give you something to talk about, assuming we have one. But Nate Oates needs to worry about, ironically, forget about Coach K, he needs to worry about Clemson, because that's who they play this weekend. And, I think there was a lot made of that yesterday. And then I watched the press conference. I went back to watch it and just to see, hey, did he initiate that, or was he asked the question? It's kind of like a couple weeks ago, Dabo Swinney had a press conference when all that Florida State stuff was going off, and people in the national media are going, why is this guy still talking about it? Well, he's still talking about it because there are morons still asking him the question 5 days after the fact. So, hey, he gave you an opinion. If you like it, great. If you don't, hey, move on. It's a free country. And I just think it is what it is. I mean, hey, again, Duke's going to get rid of non-conference games. That's probably smart. Coach K doesn't think his guys are up for it. He doesn't have to play them. That's where we are. I don't think there's any more to it than that.
No, I'm with you on this, and I'll go back to what I said earlier in the hour. I think when you look at the philosophy behind where Mike Krzyzewski and the Duke program is, they kind of reached a point, and again, everybody is different. Yes, the protocols and processes might be very similar at a lot of institutions, but everybody is still a little bit different. In the case of Duke, there's been a high level of quarantine and isolation in this. Some of that's been well documented about their process and for athletics and student-athletes in particular on that campus. And it might be very different than another institution. But what Duke's decision is Duke's decision. Right. And look, they're not going to be the only ones to pack, ultimately say, hey, look, we just can't get any more non-conference games in. We're going to focus on playing our 16 or 18 or 20 conference games, right? I just think that's I think we all kind of have to understand, just like what we're having in football. I mean, we just talked about BC, Pitt, NC State, and Syracuse have played their 11 football games, okay? Well, not everybody's going to play their 11 regular season games this year. In fact, some aren't even going to play their 6 games in certain leagues, okay? That's just what this is. And if Mike Krzyzewski thinks it's in Duke's best interest and the contracts and all the other things allow them to pause and wipe off the board all the non-conference games, so be it. They're not going to be the only ones to do it. They just might be the most notable ones to do it.
I have found in hosting radio shows for 100 years that people, if you don't like a team or a player or a coach, pro, college, high school, doesn't matter. If you have an inkling that I just don't like that guy or I don't like that team, no matter what he or she says or whatever they do, you're going to say, well, that's garbage. That's total. That's absolute BS. And again, it's a free country. You're entitled to do it. But when I hear stuff like, well, what he said if they were 4-0, I think he's going to, I think, in my opinion, that Mike Krzyzewski, given what he's accomplished in his career at Duke and beyond, is probably pretty comfortable in his skin to say, hey, listen, you know, I've lost plenty of games. I've won national championships, five of them, if you want to count. You know, I'm going to do what's in my best interest for this team. And that's what it is. And if you don't like Duke, if you don't like Mike Krzyzewski, oh, that's ridiculous. He's only sick because he's losing. Hey, that's your call. But I mean, again, we know this guy pretty well, Wes. I don't think that's where he's coming from. I think there, like I said earlier today, said it yesterday, I think there's two things at play here. I think there's the NCAA component of there needs to be a true leadership form, a person that runs college basketball. To me, that's A. And then there's B, hey, this pandemic thing just can't be a – what are we doing here? I mean, you – I don't think this is for an NCAA. Like, this is where I would disagree with Kay. I don't think the NCAA has any idea of what to do with the pandemic. Could you ask them about how to put together a basketball tournament? They give you any answer you want. The schools have to make what is in their best interest. What works at Duke might not work at Alabama. What works at Alabama might not work at Southern California. You've got to make what is in your best interest and make the call. The ACC did that with football. Yep. The Big Ten just did that too this week. You know, Greg Sankey didn't like what the ACC did. Quite frankly, it's irrelevant what Greg Sankey thought. You know, the ACC did what they did. So, again, each individual school, you got to make the call. And there, I think during a pandemic, everything's kind of thrown out. I mean, the rules change literally by the hour based on what test results look like. So you do what you got to do. So that's I think there's going to be a lot made of this already this week. Maybe it's just a downtime, and people who have whatever biases are tied in or coming out with all this stuff. But I just think you got to take a step back and understand this is a difficult time, unprecedented. And you've got to make decisions that are for your best interest, not necessarily your neighbor. And that's where we are.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.